Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 165 of the Eavesdrop podcast, brought to you by Shopify. I'll tell you a little bit more about them later on in the podcast, but today we have the artist formerly known as Penguin, Mr. Dead Zone. Now, where did the Z come from in Penguin originally?
My name is Zane, and you know, every single gamer tag has already been made, so trying to find one that looks original and like you can get.
So your name is Zane Wynn.
Zane Gwynn, sure.
Zane Gwynn.
People would call me that. Yeah,
yeah? Would they?
My real name is Zane.
Yeah.
People would call me Zane Gwynn, Zane Gwynn. Like,
gotcha.
They would mix it up.
Yeah, I like it. All right, so tell me a little bit about yourself. Obviously, you just came onto the team. You replaced my brother, my friend, Mr. APG himself. You were previously Space Station, and before that, Cloud9, I believe.
Yeah.
Tell me about, let's start in the beginning, right? For those of you who don't know, he is our fourth in the Halo squad. As I just mentioned, he replaced APG. So now it's Formal, Lucid, Trippy, and himself, Mr. Dead Zone. One, who are you today?
I'm honestly, over the last like couple seasons, I've really grown a lot as a player, especially getting to team with some of the best players in the world, like, you know, that progresses you. I think today I've really shifted my mindset. That's kind of the reason for the name change from Penguin to Dead Zone. Last season, maybe last couple seasons, I haven't taken care of myself like the best physically.
Okay.
So that's really where I've been at for like this year, is like going really hard in the gym, getting myself like healthy physically so I can be there mentally and all that stuff. Cause even last season, like I had health problems. It would affect me at events. So I was pre-diabetic, which really sucks. You don't ever want to be pre-diabetic. You don't ever want that to progress. But basically the way that showed up in me is I would have like numbness in my hands. Mm. And so as like a competitive video game player, you can't be having that.
Of course not.
So, you know, even before like last Worlds, I really started to get on that and I haven't had any problems since. So just moving forward, I'm really focused on that. Me and Trippy go to the gym like every single day. It's honestly great ever since coming down here and living near him. So that's awesome. But
where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Seattle.
Okay.
So born and raised, lived there my whole life. My dad always called us the Seattle Hillbillies because he was just blue collar. Like,
yeah.
He just did construction, like whatever. Okay. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. And I always
the
say
the backbone
that.
Of America.
Yeah, the backbone of America. And I always tell people when they like ask, like, I'm 27, can I do it? Can I do this, that? I'm like, dude, my dad peaked at 50 because he shifted over from being like a construction worker to doing a bunch of different types of businesses. And now he's like, you know, made it, I guess. So that's really cool to see.
An entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Yeah. What sort of businesses, if you don't mind sharing?
I mean, I always try to equate it to gaming terms because like that's what a lot of people around me know.
Sure.
It's like a lot of people play like old school RuneScape, right? They know what like the Grand Exchange is, whatever.
Yeah.
He's basically like a merchant, like a middleman.
Oh, gotcha.
So you buy one thing and then, you know, sell it for more. But because he does that and he gets the best deals, he actually ends up giving people a better deal than they would get if they went directly to the source. So
everybody wins.
Yeah. He's a wheeler and dealer. A true gamer in the real world.
Wheeling and dealing, man. I love that saying. It's a... Like LeBron James would say, it's one of my favorites, and I don't often quote him unless I'm lying, and then of course I have to quote him because he caps. Anyway, all right, so you obviously started your journey during 2015?
Yeah, that was my first event was in 2015.
Which, what game was that?
That's Halo 2 Anniversary, so that was like a one-off. I think only, that's when HTS was kind of dead. Like, the game itself was completely broken when it shipped, which sucked, but it was still fun to play. So I just went to like a one-off tournament with like some friends, basically. Like, we found our fourth like 2 days before the tournament. I think we got like top 24.
So if you're writing a book about yourself, a memoir of sorts, where does your story begin?
Oh, man. I mean, I think like a lot of Halo players, at least a lot of the best pros now, it really starts back in like original Xbox era, like Halo 1, Halo 2. I didn't get to play online, but I played a lot with my brothers. I have three brothers. We would play a lot in person. Like, you know, we'd screen peek on the split screen, but that was a blast. But really like Halo 3 is what I got big into. That's when I started hogging the Xbox, honestly, from everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how, like, what was the training like? Like, how many hours a day were you putting in?
Oh yeah. I always love saying this to people. They go like, what does it take to be a pro? And I always say it takes playing, you know, doing the job 10 years for free. So it's like 8 hours a day every day, even while going to school.
Damn.
And, you know, yeah, you go pro at 18, you do that since you're 9 years old. You put in a lot of work beforehand.
Yeah. So were your parents cool with you spending that much time on the Xbox?
Oh, no. I would get yelled at all the time, but, you know, My older brothers took a lot of the brunt of everything because they were like really the rebels, I guess you could say. So they're the ones who kind of made it more acceptable for me to get away with some stuff, I guess. So shout out to them a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I would stay out of trouble. I went to school, never cut class. Like I never did anything stupid or anything. Like I just played video games. Mm-hmm. Like that was my thing. I would go to LANs every weekend in Washington. Shout out to Game Clucks. Some of you might know that if you're like an OG Halo player up in Linwood,
Game
Washington.
Clucks?
Game Clucks, yeah.
Okay.
I think they had like a pre-LAN before Halo 4 Global Championships there and like stuff. So I'd go there every weekend. So I just kind of stayed out of trouble. But yeah, like...
When did you realize that you had the it factor to become a professional Halo player?
I mean, I think kind of right away, especially when I started going to LANs at like 15, because you got grown men who are like 25 years old screaming at you and you're just pissing on them, like just pissing on them over and over and over. We would like switch out teams every time. And by the end of it, we would switch teams 8 times. I'd win all 8 times and I'd be the only one going home with any money.
Mm.
So everyone would be out $20. I'd go home with 160.
So tell me what the scene was like back then. Like paint a picture for me.
So when I would go to LANs, it was pretty tight knit up in Washington. Anyway, like there was about 12 to 16 of us that would just go to every single LAN. So it was honestly a blast. And I was the youngest, so everyone had to give me rides and stuff. So shout outs to all of them. Shout out to Justin, Tyler, all you guys. But yeah, so that was awesome. I think that's kind of like the cheat code for me of getting into the scene, because sometimes it's about like who you know. Mm-hmm. So my teammate Rain, like he was pro for a long time. Mm-hmm, I think he just recently retired without saying anything. But me and him went pro together, and I met him at a LAN, and he saw like this chubby little kid, and he's like, who the hell is this? And then we like played one game of matchmaking together, and we went 3v4, and he's like, oh.
What was your school like back then? Like, what was your school like specifically, a typical Seattle school?
So I didn't go to a typical Seattle school. I did mention we were poor growing up, but like my grandparents lived right next door, so mm-hmm. they contributed a lot to like me growing up. So we got to go to like a lower end private school, but I graduated with like a class of 70.
Okay.
So like everybody knew each other as far as like where I went to school. Everyone knew I played Halo. Like that was my shtick even like amongst my classmates. Even my senior year, you know, we got top 4 at very first Halo 5 Worlds, and I made more money than all my teachers made the whole year in one weekend. So everyone kind of knew that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, the teachers are underpaid.
Oh, they definitely are.
Yeah.
Criminally.
Criminally underpaid. But, you know, when you're training people to, you know, be robots, that's what happens. You know, obviously there's a lot of them that don't necessarily follow the curriculum the right way, and then they go into their own, like, sort of... true meaning of life sort of scenarios. So shout out to those teachers. But yeah, so obviously as you're going through high school and you said it was like a semi-private school?
Yeah, it was private school, but it's like a really small one. So yeah. not that many classmates, yeah.
And obviously you said that your parents weren't super into it because your brothers obviously were out there being rebels and getting it, but they just rather have you, you know, at least where they can see you, right?
Yeah, I kind of like forced the issue, I guess. One thing I always talk about is my parents, like we would go to church every Sunday, but tournaments were always on Sunday. Mm. So I would be skipping church and I'd get yelled at when they got home while I'm in the middle of a tournament.
Yeah.
So I started waking up really early and going to early service.
Yes.
And then going and playing the tournament after.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't that you had to go with them. It's just that you just had to go, period.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Do you still follow your religion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, I do. Good.
That's good. And look, I haven't been to church in decades, but I
teach their own. I don't judge.
Me either. So it's, you know, it goes. Yeah, me either. So, but I am happy when people have, you know, that sort of belief, because if you have that sort of belief, then you believe that that you have to do more good than you do bad, and that's always a good thing. In my opinion,
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So how has it been the transition between, you know, you were on the same team for like 2 years, you said. And then sort of breaking off from there and going into a brand new team. How's that transition been for you?
I mean, it's been exciting, obviously. Like, it is fun to play with a new team. And Trippy's been one of my best friends for a long time. And we've never really, like, synced up and gotten a team ever. So we went to one tournament before that, or, like, maybe a few in Halo 3 MC Sierra. But it's really nice to be on, like, a team where we're, like, really good friends, because there wasn't, like, I was really good friends with my last team, too, but there wasn't as much, like, hanging out. Mm-hmm. People were kind of on their own schedule. I would, like, be the first on, first off. They would be, like, last on, last off altogether. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's nice to be, like, on the same page as far as that goes. I'm glad they got to pick someone up who I know will be on the same schedule as them. So that, that only breeds better competition, especially like a younger player getting some of those like reps with them. I think it was kind of amicable. You know, we went at it for 2 years. We had a lot of chokes on the last team. We probably felt like we should have won more than we did. So it was really just that time. Like even the conversation of me getting dropped was kind of like, I knew it was coming. Like I wasn't surprised. And when it happened, like it was weird because I'm usually always the person like who had dropping to drop someone.
Yeah.
But this time around, like they actually came to me because even like we had teamed before and they had kind of left without even saying anything back in Halo 5, maybe like some immaturity there, whatever. This time having a real conversation was kind of nice. They just kind of laid it out. They're like, something's missing. It's like, yeah, I mean.
How did that go? Like what do they say?
I just kind of agreed with them, like what they were saying. They were just like, you know, it's not you. We don't feel like it's any of us. And I kind of felt the same way. It just kind of was like a collective thing.
Yeah.
It just happened to be that I was the odd man out.
Yeah.
Which I always am. Like if anyone's like followed my career, my dad to the death will always say like, it sucks, I hate it. But it's like, that's okay. Like I'm totally fine with that. Like I'm okay with like being like the low key guy. Like,
yeah.
Like that's just my role. That's always been my role.
Yeah.
I'll forever be underrated. But it was weirdly amicable. I knew it was coming. Honestly, when I didn't hear anything from them for a couple of weeks, I didn't try to talk to anyone or make a team change before that. So when it happened, I was just like,
so
okay.
You two probably wanted that change then.
Yeah. And I think I would have been down if like it was like after first Worlds, we all talked that same night and we were like, you know, we're going to stick together. We're going to try to like progress as a team. And that was great because we had only picked up Adam maybe one event before that. So we only had two lands with Bound. So we wanted to try to build on that. Since it didn't happen the same way this time and they weren't like, man, that sucks. Like we should have totally had all this. Like let's run it back again. I was just kind of like, if that's not something they want, that's not something I would want either.
Yeah, yeah.
If we need to move on to get better apart, like that's totally fine. So I think I'm looking forward to this season, especially obviously because me and Trippy are like best friends, mm-hmm. like I said before. But yeah, I'm just excited for something new, I guess.
Yeah.
And just to take care of myself again, like physically, and have teammates that aren't on the same page with that. So going to the gym with Joey has been awesome.
Cool. And then obviously you guys just had a couple of tournaments. On the last one we placed second. It wasn't that close. From where, because I was watching a little bit, and
the first series was a lot closer than the second one. I mean, making that much progress from like week one to week two is a great sign because obviously, mm-hmm. like we just started playing together. There's a lot of muscle memory for me to break specifically because I'm like the new player. But I mean, there's been like random times where we just have like max chemistry mm-hmm. that you don't see often in teams. Like we're just absolutely steamrolling and on the same page completely. And I think us streaming is also like, it's like a good thing. I think everyone should be doing it. But the fact that only we are doing it, it's like different. Like it makes it harder on us.
Yeah.
Just because we have all the lights on us basically.
Yeah.
And we're also a brand new team. So there's stuff that we maybe aren't saying on stream right now that like when it gets closer to the tournament, we'll really lock in and not stream so much.
Yeah.
But when we were off stream talking stuff over and we would go into a series, we were absolutely shredding. And then once you go through a couple series, you start to like forget that. Then it needs to be brought up again. And so I think just going over stuff, we had like a couple rant sessions after that tournament. We definitely had the first series. So just making sure we're like locked in and playing tight. I think we're going to be crazy.
It was around 2013, 2014 when I started to scream it at the top of my lungs for every player who plays any fucking game at a competitive level to fucking stream. And
we need to.
And yes, obviously, like there is a disadvantage to that. And that's why some of the players don't stream S&D and all that. And then what ends up happening, and undoubtedly it'll continue to happen going forward forever and ever, is that by the time that your career comes, the end of your career comes, and it comes like that, You are then going to be left with the decision of, do I go back into the civilian world and get a job, a desk job somewhere, a construction job, or I can continue doing what I had been doing, at least in a part-time basis, right? And you see that now, like the amount of Call of Duty professionals that retire, the amount of Halo people that retire, the amount of CSGO. I mean, you name it across. Like I'm not an I told you so guy, unless I'm doing it in a teasing manner.
Oh, you're 100% right.
But it is something that like you may be sacrificing short term or making it more difficult for you, but in the end, your bank account will thank you, and therefore your family will thank you, and therefore your way of life will thank you. And I cannot tell you how, you know, I don't give a fuck, right? But it does disappoint me a little bit when I see people that I like fuck with not doing that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, me and that's something I brought up to my old team even, because they never, ever, ever stream, right? I said, we need to be doing this for the community even. Like, yeah, just the community aspect of trying to, like, keep your scene alive. And, like, right now in Halo, a lot of people, they don't stream at all unless they freaking win the online cup, and then they'll get on. It's like, okay. I said this to like, even Trippy, like, that's one thing I also wanted to start doing more, because I didn't stream, like, maybe twice all of last year and the year before that. And I've streamed, I already planned to stream a boatload even before joining Optic. And then this opportunity comes my way. And, like, you know, I can't lie, I have to capitalize on like, the hype. Yeah. Like, because you guys have built something incredible, and people come in and they stop buying no matter what if you're part of the team.
Yeah. And the thing about that is, like, no one here would ever be like, oh, this guy's, like, trying to capitalize on, like, what? Like, you should be
capitalize on every opportunity you can.
Absolutely. You're getting paid to do something. But then you have the opportunity to also get paid a second time by doing the thing that you're getting paid the first time to begin with.
Yeah.
And that leads to sponsorships that you can get from brands, and that's more money on top of your money. Now you're tripling your opportunity, and people are still, like, wondering, you know, especially the ones that, like, you know when you are going to be placing top 5. You know when you're going to be placing top 8. You know when you're going to be placing top 16. You know within yourself, yes, you're going in there with the best, you know, effort and you know, best mindset to have the best outcome, but you have an idea. And those are the people that confuse me the most, because why rely on a single weekend to pay your bills?
You know what I'm saying? It should be long term. And well,
the fourth time that you get paid four, right?
Four times
your salary, your streaming opportunity, your sponsorships that come from streaming, and your championships or your prize money if you win. That's four times that you have the opportunity. Like, and I'm not even going to deviate or separate Twitch and YouTube, right? Because those are two separate. That's like a five-way parlay.
You can find 30 ways to make it all coincide.
So for me, it's always been like one of these things where I just, like, I'm not disappointed, because I don't give a fuck. If you don't play for me, like, I'll, you know, I have certain duties as part of this community to advise people who don't even play for me on things that we do. But
I agree.
You know, the ones that I hammer down on are my guys, which is why my guys do what they do.
Well, and that's why I also said this to, like, the team. I said, well, especially Tommy and Matt, because they're streaming the tournaments themselves.
Yeah.
Me and Joey, not so much. I said, you guys are saving Halo. Like, somebody's got to do it, right? And nobody else is streaming these tournaments unless they're, like, a top 8, top 12 AM.
Dude, look at the Gears of War community, right? Gears of War was popping back in 2016, 2017, when we had our team. And you know, some of them streamed, but the majority of them didn't.
Majority of them didn't. That's how Halo is right now.
And
then
what happened?
We need to change.
Right? What happened? The viewership stopped being interested. Like, nobody was following storylines. Nobody was following, because nobody was advertising that.
Dude, people are playing Money 8s, and nobody gives a crap if you lose a series in Money 8s, and nobody's streaming it.
Yeah.
The only person streaming it was literally going into the game and clicking on their gamer tag and clicking watch and watching, like, in theater mode.
The thing about that is that I also feel that some people feel discouraged by the numbers that they get. Like, they get 15 people, 25 people, 35 people. 40. But there are going to be opportunities where somebody's going to
raid you,
stop by, or whatever. And everybody starts somewhere.
You got to start somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't affect your player value, right? Like, you're
not
there
not
for
you.
I'm hiring you for your skill. What you do after that is up to you. Do we get a benefit of doing podcasts like this? Sure, but I'm doing this podcast so that the people who watch this podcast get to know our newest player on the Halo team.
Yeah.
And you know, we've had this situation in the past where players would you know, in Optic, right? Recently, they would be like, oh, it's like, why am I showing up to content so much time? And I'm like, you don't. Matt, take them off the sheet. Don't put in the next 2 weeks. They're not on camera. I'm not going to go out of my way to fucking... This isn't... Creating content is a privilege. Entertaining people is a fucking privilege.
Yeah.
There's a monetary exchange in there somewhere, but that has nothing to do with the original relationship that you develop with people, right? So it's mind-boggling to me. Maybe because I started as a creator, but it's mind-boggling to me how people consider content like a drag sometimes.
I mean, it's basically the same thing as competing.
Yeah.
Competing is just entertainment.
Yeah.
The only reason you get paid to compete is because people want to watch you.
That's right.
That's it. So it's all coincides. I mean, look at every major sport, everything going on right now. Every single major sport, everyone's doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. Everyone's showing up to, like, media day. Everyone's showing up to everything.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you have Halo teams that won't even do an interview on the main stage after they win a series.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I told the guys, I'm like, guys, these fans aren't here to see you compete. they are here to see you entertain them.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? They're here for you to work for, to work for them. And you know, for the most part, you know, we, everybody here gets the job because I hammer it in there. But I don't know. It's disheartening at times because it then feels like we're the only ones that are trying. And you know, it's like, look, if you look at the CDL, right? In the CDL, we go above and beyond what we need to in order to create the content to continue to have the audience that we do. But like, you have other teams that just like don't give a shit about that sort of stuff, and that's disheartening.
I mean, that's something I love about you guys, and that's something I actually did love about my the old Oryx Space Station. They actually like go out of their way to do it.
Shondoris is the fucking man.
They promote it all the time. Like, it's awesome to see. And then, you know, you have some people just riding along. I don't like that. I want everyone to get on board.
Yeah, and look,
let's all get on board.
Again, me getting mad at people for them not wanting to make more money is asinine. So I stopped a long time ago, right? Like, I'm not gonna push somebody to make more money and get them annoyed at me when I'm just like, all right, well, fuck it, whatever. All right, so that aside, right, and the disadvantage that we put ourselves in by streaming some of our stuff, like, it is important because it adds to the longevity of the esport.
100%. So I totally understand it. Yeah.
But I feel sometimes that some of these esports professionals, especially in Halo, well, not especially in Halo, but in console, that they just think that the paycheck's always going to be there because, you know, the esports always going to be there. And I say, look at Gears of War. I say, look at... I mean, Gears of War is the only one that we've sort of that broke my heart a little bit when it went away. So that's why I always bring it up as an example, because I don't want that to happen to Halo. Halo did so much for my mentality early on into like what the possibilities were. So like, I would hate for that to happen to Halo.
People love Halo.
Yeah.
They still keep coming back, so that just tells you they want it to succeed.
Pardon the interruption, ladies and gentlemen. Pardon the change of clothes. Today we are going to be interrupting you guys to give you one of the most useful opportunities that you guys may use as young entrepreneurs or seasoned entrepreneurs, and that is Shopify. Shopify, as you guys know, has been around from the beginning of time for us. And ultimately, when I started podcasting and when I started making videos on YouTube, I didn't know that so many people were going to want to share, you know, those sort of moments with us. So creating merch and creating, you know, controllers and all that stuff, you know, that obviously came with its own set of problems, because how do you obtain an address and then ship that out? And how does that all that get handled? Well, Shopify has been there from the beginning to help us, you know, go through these questions that we often ask ourselves, right? So just so you guys know, Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, right? For the launch your online store shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling dog leashes, as I always say, which my wife does, or whether you're selling mini walls, those I do, or art, or hoodies, whatever it is, your artisan self is creating for people to enjoy alongside with you, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce stores in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklyn, and Optic, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is here to support your success every single step of the way, because businesses that grow with Shopify. And right now, if you sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/eavesdrop, that's all lowercase, and I'll leave a link in the description to make it super easy. But if you sign up for the $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/eavesdrop, all lowercase, by clicking the link in the description down below, you should go to shopify.com/eavesdrop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/eavesdrop is the way to be. Ching, go check it out. Link in the description. Go get it. Yep. Tell me about the season. When is the next LAN and where?
Oh, it's the Optic Major, HCS Arlington, March 15th to the 17th. Yeah.
That's right.
I got that one locked in.
Yeah.
Locked in memory.
This is the first time you're going to be playing in front of the green wall.
Well, not the first time I'm playing in front of the green wall, but the first time I get to play for the green wall.
Yeah.
And that honestly is diffy. Like, that's, yeah. Yeah. Playing against you guys, like, it's actually crazy. I personally like being booed, but I know people who don't. I know people who would, like, affects. Like, if someone boos me, like, I just try harder, because, like I said, growing up on LAN, I'm getting screamed at by 25-year-olds. It's all the same. It's all the same, right? So yeah. I love it, but I know, like, getting cheered for is way better. Now I'm 26.
Okay, now you're 26. Yeah. So now you're doing the screaming at those young cracked out players?
No, I'm still the same player. I'm still the same like personality kind of that I was when I'm a way better player, but same personality of I won't say anything back and I'll just beat them. So that's still me. So
that's good.
But getting cheered for is honestly always better. Like it's always a lot more fun. So that is something I'm looking forward to. I can't even lie.
So we know that you follow your faith. What's your family like?
I mean, I don't want to get too into like my family.
Please don't. I mean, if you don't want to share.
No, it's not that I don't want to share. I mean, it's like any other family. We have our problems, right? There's people that talk to each other a lot. There's people that don't talk to each other a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty similar, but I mean, I love my parents. My parents are awesome. They try super hard for every single kid they have. We all got treated the same, even if people are causing more trouble or whatever. So I love that. Shout out to my little brother. He's the golden child, I guess. So I was always the video game player, didn't do all my homework, all that stuff.
Yeah.
He was the complete opposite. Always did all his homework. He loves history.
He's studious.
He's a fact machine. Like, and he'll talk to you like you know those facts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, dude, I don't know anything about like the French Revolution like that. Like, I don't know the specific details. But no, I love that guy. He just became an electrical engineer and graduated from UW.
Damn, that's amazing.
My oldest brother, he kind of went off the rails, got addicted to drugs, but now he's been clean for like 3 years. So shout out to him. That's awesome to see. I hope he keeps going at that. But yeah,
it takes a certain kind of mental fortitude to get away from the grasps of those evil things sometimes.
And maybe being addicted to video games a little bit.
Yeah, too.
He plays a lot of video games. He actually started getting into Halo. He's been doing pretty well, even for being 30 this year. I think he turns 30. Yeah.
Well, look, as long as he's turning around and going in the right direction, man, by all means, man.
Yeah, shout out to him.
There's nothing wrong with hitting rock bottom as long as you can get out of it. Like, there's literally nothing wrong with that. It's a success story ready to be made happen.
Yeah, and then my third brother, he still needs to hit rock bottom. So
yeah,
a little bit. So hopefully he does, and he turns it around too.
So just a regular ass family then.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's good. That's good.
Everyone's doing their own thing. Everyone's pretty successful right now. So
when you're living in Seattle, which is one of my favorite cities to visit. Let me rephrase that.
Not so much recently, before pre-COVID, it was amazing.
Yeah, pre-COVID, I remember like Seattle being one of my favorite ones. Like all the PAX Easts, Wests. Not Boston. PAX West were always like bangers. I loved going out there.
Oh, I loved it before.
Yeah, it was so good, man.
It's become a meme amongst my friends. Like Seattle's like turned to crap.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's sucks. The Walking Dead now.
Yeah, the homeless problem. Yeah, all that stuff has just gone off the rails. So
yeah, it's unfortunate.
No, it sucks. They need to turn it around. They just definitely need to turn it around.
They do. They do.
So I love the food. The food's still amazing. But yeah.
Yeah. What about here? I mean, obviously you live here now. What's been the biggest change?
Going from like living in a house to an apartment.
Okay.
Honestly, I really like living in an apartment.
You
get to walk to everything.
Yeah.
I can walk to the grocery store. I can walk to any restaurant. It's honestly amazing. Like, it's definitely different. Like, whereas before where I lived, I'd have to drive 20 minutes at least because Seattle's very north to south. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd have to drive, but now I don't. I don't think I've gotten in my car in like 8 months or something.
Really?
Since I moved here, pretty much. Yeah.
Jeez. So you've been here way before you jumped on the team.
Yeah, I moved here back in April of last year.
Okay.
So I've been here for a while because living in Seattle, that's the worst part of it. Video games.
Ping, right?
Ping. Yeah, I'm on 78, 80, 85 ping versus the best players in the world. Like,
nah,
that's the biggest disadvantage of all time.
Yeah.
Even still watching Lucid play from Florida, it's not as bad as me.
Yo, he loves it out there though.
Oh, I know he does.
He will not move.
No, I want to live in Seattle when it's all said and done. But for the time being, I have to be here because it's unplayable. Even sometimes I watch him, and I'm like getting like cold sweats. So I'm like, dude, I'm getting flashbacks. This isn't real.
Yeah. If I always tell my wife Jude that I want to retire in a place like Seattle, but more like Colorado, right? Like pine trees and hills and mountains and lakes.
Yeah.
Like that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
That's literally what I want to do. Same.
You can drive anywhere.
Yeah, I don't want to drive nowhere. I just want to be in my little homestead with a rocking chair on my porch.
Some real old man stuff.
Yeah, some
whittling away.
Yeah. I would. I'm an artisan by nature, and I'd love to whittle me some pipes that I can smoke out of.
Oh,
of the little goodness. But you know, that's long time from here, and we'll see where this thing goes. But
yeah.
So obviously, you know, we have a big season ahead. Playing with somebody like Formal, playing with somebody like Lucid, obviously Trippy, who have beaten you right in the last couple of events. They chose you specifically for a reason, right? And I never asked this question. What do you think, in your opinion, was that it was you?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I think I was the best option available, right? I mean, I think I love Brad. I've teamed with APG. I definitely think I'm an upgrade in this game specifically. I learned a lot from him, actually. I probably attribute a lot of the teamwork I use and some of the objective efficiency to playing with him and learning from him back in Halo 5 as like a younger player. So I just think I bring a lot of that with maybe some more individual skill. I get crazy kills I shouldn't get. I get every kill I should. So I just think it's the consistency. I've been one of the most consistent players, and I don't need the spotlight. You know, Lucy can have it, Formal can have it, Trippy can have it. I don't care. I mean, even when I walked in the door, you said, please win. That's the first thing you said to me, please just win. That's what I'm all about. Like, I don't care if I have to hold the ball. I don't care if I go negative, whatever. If we win the game, I'm happy with that. I don't need the spotlight. And I think that, honestly, a player like that can fit anywhere. Yeah. Right? And I think it fits in really well here.
Yeah, selflessness will always get you to places unimaginable. As long as you find the balance of what is too selfless,
you
got to look out for number one at some point. Aside from the gaming thing, are there any hobbies that you grew up that you loved and that you still, you know, sort of nurture?
I don't even know. I guess for me, I love watching basketball. So that was super cool going to the Mavs game. Sorry for freaking you out.
Tell a story.
Oh, man. So the HQ is like right next door to the American Airlines Center where the Mavs play. And I got invited to come sit in the booth with all of Optic. And they threw out t-shirts. It was super cool. First time I've ever been to
our booth.
Our booth.
Yeah, our booth.
Our booth. I got to get used to that.
Yes.
New team, first time in 2 years.
Yeah.
But no, that was super cool. That's the first sporting event I've ever been to.
Ever,
yeah. I mean, I've been to like minor league baseball games.
But like the first professional stadium
ever. I've never been to a concert.
Shit.
That's why you're asking about my hobbies. I've never been to a concert. I just play Halo and video games.
Yeah.
A lot of retro video games. But right after that, we're leaving. Trippy's like, I don't have a key to get into the HQ yet. I'm supposed to get it today.
Yeah.
And his phone is like at 1%. He's like, my phone's at 1%. So we go to the side door or whatever to try to get in. The side door's like busted, won't open. So
you need an app, a specific app with a specific key to get in.
Yeah. And the side door won't open, and he's like, oh, crap, my phone's going to die. So I start sprinting. I'm like, we got to go. Like, I start sprinting full speed around the corner, and Hector is like coming in the door on the other side, and he just sees this random dude, because I'd put my sweatshirt on over the Optic jersey.
With a hoodie.
With a black hat, and I'm just running at him full speed coming in the door, and he's like, trying to shut it behind him, like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, because
freaking him out.
No, not me. I was more because I was with my girls.
Yeah,
right?
with
the wife and the kid.
Yeah,
and someone's fucking rushing. I take all precautions.
You're ready to fight me. I'm like coming at him full speed.
So I'm like going and I'm like trying to close the door. I'm like, who the fuck? He's like, it's me. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. And I'm like, oh my god, you crazy bastard! You had your black hat, you had a hoodie, didn't recognize you.
I'm running faster than Trippy, by the way, for some reason. Even though he's like in way better shape than me. I'm like,
you're a big dude.
I'm
right?
a big so, dude. I'm so, yeah. sprinting full speed. Dude.
Yeah,
nah,
yeah, yeah.
I gave you a heart attack. I'm like apologizing. Yeah. You're like, no, it's okay.
I would have a heart attack. Once I realized, I knew.
Of course, but,
You know, I know my size. I saw your size, and I'm like, this would be a battle. You know, like,
this would be a war.
I don't take anything for fucking granted, right?
Nah, that was too funny. So, I felt so bad after.
No. You shouldn't.
No, but like, giving you a little heart attack. I'm going to feel a little bad, you know?
Yeah, I was like, whoa. Because, you know, people.
Ready to fight me,
But. You did scare me a little bit, or startled me at the very least. And the first I went into dad mode, and I wanted to close
course,
the door.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
But that was funny. So
that was hilarious.
Hobbies. You said something about retro games.
Oh yeah, I love that kind of stuff. My dad, so like, you know, we were poor, or whatever. But he knew every single person that worked at pawn shops, and this is when like pawn shops back in the day were an actual deal because eBay wasn't like a thing yet.
Mm.
So we always had everything you could ever imagine, like N64, SNES. It was always like 5 years late, but who cares? Like it's still a blast. I've kept all that stuff. To this day, I have it stored in buckets. I play that stuff all the time. I always tell people if they want a console, get a Wii and mod it because you can play basically anything on that thing.
But you could do it with the Switch, no?
You can do it with the Switch too. But the thing I like about the Wii specifically is if you can find a CRT for cheap on Facebook, the Wii has like RCA. It's got so you can just plug it into that and actually be playing retro games on a retro console, kind of. You know? So I play like all my GameCube games, all my Wii games, on that kind of stuff.
Any Atari? Any super old school?
I have a Channel F, if you've ever heard of that. That's from like the 80s or something.
I'm from the 80s or something.
Well, that's fair. But yeah, I found that in my grandma's house. No Atari. I think we lost the Atari. We lost some of the Sega stuff, but a lot of old Nintendo stuff.
So. Oh, yeah. I'm familiar.
Yeah, we have a Channel F. That thing looks crazy.
What kind of games are they? Matt, show me one of the games.
They're so crap.
No, listen, you can say they're crap all you want, but there is, I mean, the same nostalgia that people get about Call of Duty 2, Modern Warfare 2, or Halo 1 or Halo 2. Like, I get this
about some of this stuff.
Yeah, dude, I was a kid playing this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's crazy.
You know, my Atari was one of the best things. Mrs. Kangaroo, Frankenstein, Pitmaster,
E.T. I swear, E.T.
E.T. was the worst one. I do have, it's rated the worst video game of all time. Have you seen the documentary around it?
Yeah, it's just completely busted.
Yeah, and they buried all of the games somewhere in the desert. And once they found you, have you seen the documentary?
No, I haven't.
If you guys haven't seen the documentary, people watching, you guys should. It is crazy. Yeah, I have that. Look at that thing. That's worth $39,000, an unopened version of it. It's graded.
That's actually crazy, yeah.
Yeah, the one that I have was like $300. Collected it because it was cool. The other one that was really good that I have dreams about, I don't know the name of it, but it's a... Matt, type in Atari 2600 and then key game.
You have dreams about it.
Yeah, I do. I have dreams about it. Like
I have dreams about Halo.
Yeah, that one right there, the left. Yeah, that. Yeah, what's it called? Adventure. There's like a dragon in this. Click on
1979.
That.
1979.
Wow. Isn't there like a dragon or something, bro? I have dreams about this.
Crazy video games are all gonna be 50 years old now.
Yeah, this is my stuff, man. This is I have dreams about this game to this day. I'm 44. Yeah, there's a dragon that shoots shit at you.
I love that. Yeah, I have dreams about Halo 3 and stuff. So
do you?
I'm sure I'll have them when I'm 44.
Yeah, but it's so basic, man. Like I obviously miss it because of, you know, that's nostalgic to me. That's when my this is like the beginning of video games, right? Like this is the 1984, 1985. So you can imagine that, you know, the imagination of being able to control something on your screen that's, you know, animated is, I don't know.
Pong was probably mind-blowing back in the day. Are you kidding?
No, Pong was... I didn't fuck with Pong.
But when it first came out, I'm saying, like, people were probably mind-blowing. Have it. Yeah.
They were, yeah, for sure.
It was the 70s, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought... When you said retro games, immediately I got into it. Oh, but the artwork right there, Matt, Atari 26... go to the right, two more. That next one, right there. Like artwork like this.
Oh, they don't make it like they used to.
Drives me crazy. I fucking
love
it.
Box art, yeah.
Yeah. That 8-bit shit.
Like, I have a Nintendo 64 in the box, and just looking at the box is super cool.
The Nintendo 64 is good. The first Nintendo is the one that set my path on my entrepreneurial path. I was like 8 years, nine. When did it come out, Matt? The first NES? That's when 80s, when I
80 something.
88, I believe. 85. Oh, yeah. So I was like 6 years. I was 5 in 85, but when I started working was like 6, 7, 8, around there, where I was carrying stuff, like working in the landscape business in Mexico, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I've always had this entrepreneurial brain. Sucked at school. Couldn't. You can't keep.
Oh, dude,
my concentration is not made.
Zero.
Yeah, I can't.
Zero on homework. 95 on the test.
No, that's why the people that do the spreadsheets here get paid what they pay, because I'm not looking at those fucking things.
No, that's why I respect my fiance for going to work every day. I'm I can.
No,
I can't do that. I can't focus for that long.
So you're engaged. How long have you been with her?
We've been together 8 years.
Nice.
Just
man.
Recently got engaged. We're getting married in December.
Ah, congratulations.
Post-world.
What does she do?
If you don't mind sharing. She's like in marketing.
Oh, cool.
For like an engineering company.
Cool, cool. Does she help you with your marketing for your brand?
She does all. So she during COVID, she's also does art on her iPad.
Mm-hmm.
She basically had a monopoly on like the Halo scene for all emotes, some logos, like all that kind of stuff. So a lot of emotes you
love
see
that.
In Halo streams, she did them all.
iPad.
On her iPad.
Procreate.
Yeah. What is it? It might be called Procreate.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
It's what I use.
She had it. The original one or whatever, so she got grandfathered in. She doesn't have to pay for anything anymore.
She gets
all the updates because she was like the first person to buy it, basically.
Fuck yes. I love that. I love that companies do that also.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Well, look, I won't take up any more of your time. I do appreciate you stopping by. Is there any closing comments that you want to say to the Green Wall?
I don't know. I guess my closing comment would be I'm just going to go win. Yeah.
That's what I asked you to do when I first met you.
That's all I want to do.
Just win.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We have my man Dead Zone. Wait, what? Dead Zone? Why Dead Zone over Penguin? And what did Penguin? What was Penguin? What was the meaning behind there?
Because
I will say I fucked with your gamer tag from the moment that I saw it.
The Penguin gamer tag?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do.
Because if you don't mind me saying, right, the Z also looks like an E if you drop like a line in it. So it's like a lowercase E.
Every time I would sign, I'd put the line through it.
Yeah,
it kind of did look like an E. But I mean, I never really actually super liked the gamer tag Penguin. It just always kind of was my gamer tag. And I guess it's just kind of, I mean, it is kind of funny to like get absolutely pissed on by a guy named Penguin that looks like me.
Yeah,
I can't even lie. I look like a little bit of a goofball, so I do think that's kind of funny. But I don't know. I didn't really like it, and honestly, I just needed to change as a person. And I think that's like a good way to mentally check myself.
Reinvent yourself.
Time. Just being like, you know, I'm not that guy anymore. Like, I want to be someone different in the upcoming years and for the rest of my life. And I want to take care of myself and work really hard. And I think I just like want to do that even more now than ever. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations on not just joining us, but also on the change in your life.
Thank you.
I do appreciate you being here. Looking forward to the rest of the season. I do hope that you guys can bring some championships to the green wall. We're starving for more, and we're always looking for them. So we do appreciate you. All of his information, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be listed in the description down below. Be sure to follow him. Give him a warm welcome to the team and show him what Optic and our community is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
See ya.
Pardon the interruption, ladies and gentlemen. Pardon the change of clothes. Today, we are going to be interrupting you guys to give you one of the most useful opportunities that you guys may use as young entrepreneurs or seasoned entrepreneurs, and that is Shopify. Shopify, as you guys know, has been around from the beginning of time for us. And ultimately, when I started podcasting and when I started making videos on YouTube, I didn't know that so many people were going to want to share those sort of moments with us. So creating merch and creating controllers and all that stuff, you know, that obviously came with its own set of problems, because how do you obtain an address and then ship that out? And how does that all that get handled? Well, Shopify has been there from the beginning to help us, go through these questions that we often ask ourselves, right? So just so you guys know, Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, right? For the launch your online store shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling dog leashes, as I always say, which my wife does, or whether you're selling mini walls, those I do, or art or hoodies, whatever it is that your artisan self is creating for people to enjoy alongside with you, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce stores in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklyn, and Optic, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is here to support your success every single step of the way, because businesses that grow with Shopify. And right now, if you sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/eavesdrop, that's all lowercase, and I'll leave a link in the description to make it super easy. But if you sign up for the $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/eavesdrop, all lowercase, by clicking the link in the description down below, you should go to shopify.com/eavesdrop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/eavesdrop is the way to be. Ching, go check it out. Link in the description. Go get it.